Well, the new album, Majesty in the Decay, is coming out on Tuesday. How are you guys excited about that?
Yeah, we're psyched, man. I mean, it's we're psyched for a lot of reasons. I mean, for one, that you know, we have a strong label behind us now here in the States. Nuclear Blast has already proven to us that they're, you know, they're focused on you know, pushing the band, and they've done a lot press wise already, and they've actually made a lot of very helpful suggestions during the whole recording process. And so yeah, I mean, we have high hopes for you know, this one as far as that end is concerned. And then we're just excited because we think it's a good record. It's a strong record, and I think people will really like it. And the people who have heard it, because we were selling it on the road, and I know it was leaked a couple of weeks ago, so the people who have heard it are really liking it, which is good. It's always good to hear, because it's really the first time that we get any kind of feedback. I mean, you know, we're listening to the stuff for months and months before it even comes out, and it's the first time we really get feedback. So it's nice, after all that wait and all that hard work and time you put into it, to get some positive feedback, you know?
And, well, I mean, I've been noticing over the years that every time you guys put out a new album, it keeps getting better and better. What do you think this is due?
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm glad you think so. I mean, you know, some people disagree. I mean, we have a whole bunch of critics in our fan base. You know, there's obviously the people who like the earlier stuff, and they think that's our strongest. And then we have the people who like the stuff in the middle, like Failures for Gods, Close to World Below, and Holy Cult, that they think that's the strongest. And then we have the guys who like the newer stuff, you know, like Harnessing and Shadows and the EP, you know, and they think that's... So everybody likes something different, but they all, and they appreciate everything we've done, but everybody has their favorite, you know, depending on, you know, where they jumped in. You know, I guess the people there from the beginning tend to like the earlier stuff better, and the people who came in later on kind of like the newer stuff better. So, you know, it's fine. I mean, as long as they come out to the shows and they still support, I mean, it's all fine with me. Can you hold on 1 second? I'm getting another call.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we've been doing it for so long. I mean, we're just comfortable. We know what we want to achieve with each record. So the whole process kind of gets easier for us. I think we're more focused. The older we get, the more focused we get. And, you know, we've always tried, since the beginning, I mean, not to stray too far from what we started. You know, I never wanted to be one of those bands who got to a certain point and then they kind of tried something totally different, and they changed their whole style, and with that, they alienate their entire fan base that they built up for 10 years. You know, I never wanted to be that band. You know, we always agreed that, like, you know, we would just try to improve and make things better with each album. And it's not the type of thing when we try to outdo the previous records. Like, we never start the writing process for a new record and say, okay, this has got to be better than the last one. We never do that, because that's self-defeating. You defeat yourself, you know. You just try to write stuff that you're happy with, and that, you know, you feel is worthy of the name. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if it could pass our QC, which is probably the roughest QC, you know, process going, then we feel it'll be acceptable to the fans. So, but it's got to get past us first, believe me. And a lot of times we're listening to complete songs, and right up until we go in the studio, and we're just like, yeah, well, I don't know, not so much, we're not feeling this one. And then we completely scrap it. So it's got to pass the in-house quality control first.
So how long was Majesty in the Decay cooking for?
A little while. Bob had started coming up with riffs for that the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. And, you know, the process usually doesn't take that long, but this time he started writing riffs that early. So by the time summer came, by the time, like, May came, let's say, we had a lot of riffs. We had about 70 or 80 riffs. And, you know, of course, out of those riffs, not all of them made it to the record. A lot of them we didn't use, you know, because, you know, something may sound great when you first hear it, and then after you've been listening to it for a couple of months, you realize, okay, well, it's not as strong as now the other stuff that he's coming up with. So, you
Mm-hmm.
So, and then summertime, we kind of put everything on hold. We had, you know, we did the Maryland Fest and the Central Illinois Fest, and we went to Europe to do a couple of festivals. So, you know, we had about a month or two downtime because of that, and then we jumped right back in and we finished up the writing, and then we got in the studio at the end of October. So yeah, it was a longer process compared to the last bunch of records, which we kind of wrote within a 2 or 3 month period, you know, from start to finish. So this was a longer process, and we also had, you know, we had the Ableton Live program that Bob had on his computer, so that allowed us, you know, a proper pre-production, so we could actually, you know, tweak the songs right up until we went into the studio, and there was a lot of time saved. My drummer Steve lives in Ohio, so in the past we'd have to drive out there like every weekend to rehearse the new riffs with him and then come back, you know. So this eliminated a lot of that, because we could email him like complete songs with kind of like mock drum beats to give him an idea of where we were going with the feeling of the songs. And then obviously he'd create his own, you know, beats, you know, based on the templates we gave him. So it was an easier process, so that's all, you know. It allowed us more time to fine-tune the song. So yeah, in answer to your question, it was since about the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. So it was a long process, about a 10-month process.
Was this dude that you had, like, bigger budget and a bigger label this time because you switched from Listenable to Nuclear Blast?
Actually, the budget was about the same as what we had for the last record. We actually had a little more for the last record. But the budget was fine. It was adequate. Don't misunderstand. The budget was very adequate, and we actually did the recording and the mixing and mastering well under budget this time, which is the first time in a long time. So, and it was our best sounding one, I think, you know, out of all our records. I mean, I'm happy with everything we've done, and in retrospect, obviously, there's always things you look at that you know could be better, but I mean, for the time and for where we were at that particular time, that particular release, whichever one we're talking about, we're happy with it. But, I mean, this one, I think, just goes beyond all the rest as far as sound and dynamics and, you know, just the quality of the production. You know, and it really, you know, it was again, the suggestions that were made by the label. I mean, we knew we wanted to try something different, but we didn't know where to go or which direction to go in. So they kind of gave us a few choices to consider. You know, they weren't pushy at all. I mean, they pretty much left it in our court. But you know, they definitely threw us some suggestions that we you know, we took and we considered and we used. So, and Zach Owen was one of the suggestions, and we liked what he did with the newest Suffocation record, and we said, okay, let's try this kid. You know, he seems like he's going to do a good job. He really did a great job for us. We're happy.
Well, it kind of also sounds that you guys have been taking advantage of technology. Can you tell us a little bit more how, with like every release, the technology is changing and it's making it easier and cheaper to make better sounding albums? How do you guys have been affected by this?
Well, this is the first time we've actually been affected by it, because we've been so bootlegged in the past 20 years. we've done everything the hard way. I mean, literally. We are so antiquated. Like the last record, for example, Bob was recording riffs on a 4-track recorder, putting them on a cassette tape, and then we'd go out to fucking Ohio and we'd fucking, you know, we'd stand there with Steve in the rehearsal room and play him the riffs and try to come up with drum beats, you know, that fit the parts, you know, and that's how it was done. And any pre-production we had was basically a boombox recording in the rehearsal room, you know, on a cassette tape. So now, it's nice because we were able to, like Bob was able to literally record all the riffs, piece them together, and have a full arrangement, and then program, you know, the mock drum beats to the entire song. So you had a full song from start to finish, and with that, you could adjust the tempos, because, you know, when we record the records, you know, we have Steve play to a click track, so the timing's correct. So all the adjustments as far as tempos and everything, we could do right there with the pre-production. So when Steve gets the song, it's already pretty much the way he needs it. You know, the guitar rhythms are there. We use the same guitar rhythms that we had in the pre-production for the scratch tracks when we actually were in the studio. You know, so scratch tracks. You know, we just used the pre-production ones because they were fine, you know. So it saved a lot of time is what it did, and it just allowed us more time to really fine-tune the songs and you know, to make them as best as they could be. And that's where the, you know, the time factor helped out.
So now that you guys are a little bit more comfortable and using technology, have you do you think that you're going to be using more like arrangements and pre-production things?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a kid with a new toy. Now we're like, man, we can't wait for the next one. It'll be even better. I know, it's just so sad that it's like, you know, 2010, and we're just fucking, you know, we're just getting hip to this shit, you know. We're so like backwards with that shit. But hey, you know, better late than never, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what about the overall concept behind Majesty and Decay? Can you tell us more about that and the lyrics?
Well, again, the lyrics follow suit from the last couple of records. I mean, we have you know, some of the religious stuff on there. There's three songs that specifically deal with religion, Power and Shame, Divine Code, and last song, Comfort the Cowards. So you have that, as well as some of the other stuff that we've kind of delved into over the last couple of records, probably starting with Unholy Cult and Harnessing Ruin, you know, more of the stuff based on war and some of the social things we've touched on, and some of the you know, more personal things. There's a lot more personal things going on with the last record, but there's a little bit on this record as well. So yeah, I mean, it's diverse enough, but it's very relevant to what's going on in the world today, and it's very dark. It's written very dark, you know. And you know, we had all different types of inspiration, whether it be from just, like I said, what's going on in the world today, you know, just from what you see going on around you and reading newspapers, or you know, from books. I mean, I read a lot. I mean, we all read a lot, and you know, so we're kind of history buffs, so you know, we drew a lot of inspiration on this record, specifically from some of the historical books I've read on World War II, which is something I've been into, and Bob's into it, and you know, we've incorporated some of that into the lyrics this time around. So yeah, I mean, it definitely covers a lot of ground, but it's all very dark, and it all fits in with the theme of the record, and Majesty, the K, the title. Really works well, you know, with everything that's going on lyrically with the record. And you know, basically, it shows that what the title means is it kind of shows the dark side of power and opulence and the misuse of power, and that's basically what the title means. And a lot of songs on the record deal with that, you know, whether it's coming from a religious point of view. And when we're talking about the church and its misuse of power and its greed, everything from that to you know, corporate America, or just the song "Majesty and Decay" was inspired by some World War II stuff as well. So I mean, I think if you read the lyrics, each song is very specific when it was written, you know, as far as what it was about. And we try to leave the lyrics open enough for interpretation, because you know, some people, you can have five people read the lyrics of one song and everybody will get something different out of it.
Yeah.
So we're specific, but we leave it vague enough so that people could take what they want out of it. So that's, to me, that's the way we like to do things.
And what do you think, why do you think that since the beginning you didn't go with like the whole with blood and guts that everybody else seemed to be doing in the death metal scene years ago?
Yeah, it just wasn't our thing. I mean, you know, I enjoy a lot of that stuff, but it just wasn't our thing. I mean, we started out specifically writing about religion and our take on religion and how we felt about religion, and it was always about that since the beginning. I mean, the first album was a little more diverse because there was a lot more going on lyrically with the first album, but from the second record, the third record, the fourth record, and even a good part of the fifth record was all very heavily based on religion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which was great, and, you know, there was a lot of inspiration there, but, you know, after like four albums, you know, you can only say so much more about what you've already said. So, at least with the new record, the three songs that we do have that are based on religious ideas and concepts are all kind of different, you know, and they're, you know, they're done in a different way. So, at least it's not, like, totally redundant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you guys just completed your tour with Niall and Chrisium. Can you tell us a bit more? How was that experience?
Oh, it was great. It was a great tour. I mean, the shows were well attended. The crowds were very, very supportive and enthusiastic. You know, for all the bands, for us, Chrisium, Niall, Dreaming Dead, and Rose Funeral. And I'd say it was a very successful tour for all the bands. I mean, everybody did really well. I mean, the responses were fucking overwhelming. The shows were packed, and it was a fun tour. I mean, everybody got along, and you know, that's key. I mean, that to me is the most important part. You know, having a whole package of bands that get together and work together and all have a good time together, you know, and equally get up there and show their stuff every night and do a good job. So yeah, that made it a good tour.
And have you been noticing like a bigger resurgence of death metal now that there's more people going to shows than a few years ago and all of this stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, especially now after this tour, I'd have to say, you know, we were amazed at some of their at some of their responses and some of the turnouts on this tour. And some areas that we thought for sure wouldn't do good did phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? I think there was only maybe two or three shows that did, you know, below expectation, and that was, and one of those shows was because of weather, extreme weather, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
every other show did really well. I mean, so that to me is a good sign. It's very positive to see, like, that kind of support and, you know, that diehard support from kids, even today, you know, for such an extreme tour. So, you know, there's still hope.
And we actually read that you ended up even driving the bus at some point. How did that happen?
Oh, yeah, you know, that was funny because what happened was their driver got pulled over for speeding, and he wasn't really speeding, but it turns out he didn't have the correct class license in the state of Arizona to pull a trailer, you know, because you need a Class A, he only had a Class B. So what happened was he got a suspension. The cop suspended him for 10 hours.
Oh.
So he couldn't drive for 10 hours. So I have a Class B license because that's what I do. I'm a truck driver. So I was able to drive their bus, and our vehicle was able to pull their trailer. So it worked out. So I, you know, it was basically just to get to that show. Once we got out of Arizona, he was fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was it. I drove like 4 hours. It was no big deal. I've driven a lot longer times in the past. So 4 hours was nothing.
And how do you see that the touring has changed? Now more people are having their buses, and because I remember before that people traveled in vans for a while.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, Matt was on a bus. Us and Chrisian shared a vehicle. It wasn't really a bus, but it wasn't really a camper. It was something in between. It was really cool. It was very comfortable. And Dreaming Dead and Rose Funeral both had vans and trailers, you know. And honestly, we probably would have had a van and trailer had we not have found this this guy who had the vehicle that we rented. So it just depends. I mean, buses are very expensive, and you know, unfortunately, we don't make enough to warrant us getting a bus. You know what I'm saying? So.
And we're looking at you guys' future touring, and you have Deathfest in UK in May 2, right?
Yeah, actually, we're doing about 5 shows around that. We're doing the Neurotic Death Fest in Holland. We're doing that Death Fest in Leeds in the UK. We're doing a festival in Portugal, and we're doing like 2 other shows right in that same week. So we got 5 shows. We just haven't put them up yet on the MySpace. So we got 5 shows coming up immediately in the end of April, and then I think we're going back to Europe in during the summer, probably late summer around August, do some more like festivals. And then we'll probably do some big touring here in the States, whether it's headlining or support, both here and in the U.S. and in Europe come the fall, probably around September, October, November. So, yeah, so we'll be busy right up to the end of the year for sure.
And how, I mean, can you kind of tell us which festivals you have confirmed, or are you guys still under contract with not saying?
No, we just don't know yet. We have an agent over there who's booking a fest for us now, and usually what he does is he'll send us like, okay, this is what I got so far. So we haven't gotten any updates yet, but we just know he's working on them. So as soon as we know, everybody will know, because we'll throw them up on the website as soon as we get confirmation, you know. So, but there's so much going on in Europe in July and August that, you know, there's really, I mean, last year we didn't even have a new record out. We did Hellfest, and we did a festival in London. So yeah, I mean, we did two fests, and we did a bunch of headlining shows. So, you know, it was great. It was a good time to do them, you know. So,
where do you see the band going with this release? Do you think you guys are gonna get a bigger fan base? Are you gonna be more exposed, or?
Hopefully. I mean, you always kind of want to get more fans. That's the whole point. I mean, you know, so hopefully we'll expand the fan base. I think just being on Nuclear Blast now will help get us out there to more people, because they seemed a little bit more aggressive in pushing the band, which is, you know, what we've wanted to see here in the States especially. So now we have that. I mean, they're doing a fine job in Europe as well. They've really set up a lot of press for us, which is very refreshing to see. And, I mean, the objective is just to get out there and to tour and to promote the new record, because that's ultimately what we want to do. That's why we're here. So, to expand, to get more fans, and to, you know, just to get out there more, you know, and hit some different places. Like, we're going to try to get down to South America with this record. We're going to try to get down to Australia, New Zealand, and hopefully get over to Japan. So we're looking to hit some newer places that we have never been before. So hopefully that, you know, that'll all be possible now with the new label and the new release. So.
And, I mean, well, the album was released this weekend in Europe. Have you heard anything back from the numbers of how it's doing?
No, I mean, I'm sure they'll let us know how it's doing, you know, soon enough. But, you know, hopefully there's been so much, like, pre-press, like, building up to the release that hopefully people will know it's out. I mean, that's half the battle is kids knowing it's coming out and when it's coming out. Once they know and they go get it, that's all that matters.
And how do you feel that you guys have been affected by the album's leaking? Like you said, this one was leaked a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's... I look at it this way. I think metal kids are pretty reliable to buy something if they like it. I mean, at least that's how I am. Even if I hear something online and I like it, I'll still buy it. And I found on this tour especially, because we did have the CDs for like half the tour. So for the second half of the tour, we were selling the CD, which is probably why it got leaked so quick. But what happened is, like, I'll see kids will download it, and they'll hear it online, and then they'll come see us, and then they'll buy the CD. Because I talk to a lot of kids and say, oh, man, you know, I downloaded the album. It's fucking amazing. He's like, I want to pick it up now if you got it. And, you know, we'd sell it to them. And so it's nice to hear that they, even though they have it, they downloaded it, they still want to buy it. So, and, you know, I have faith in Metal Kids. Metal Kids, you know, they want to own the product. They want to read the lyrics. They want to see the artwork. They want something physical that they can hold in their hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, of course, it sucks, you know, when, you know, people download it for free. But to be honest with you, man, you know, we've never made any money off of record sales in 22 years. So it never really affects us that way. It affects the record labels, you know. And, you know, they have, you know, they put a lot into it, you know. And, you know, I guess they got to make their money back. But it never really affected us, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's almost kind of like a good kind of a boost, you know, a little pre-production for it to kind of sneak out there and people hear it. And they're like, oh, wow, this sounds good. I want to pick it up when it comes out. So it kind of works that way as well. So you got to look at it from both sides, you know.
Well, yeah, that is true. So if you guys weren't doing the Immolation right now, what do you think you would have done?
Ha! That's a good question. I have no idea. My life is, you know, my life has had the band in it since 1988, you know, and prior to that I was, you know, big-time music guy. I was, you know, all about playing bass and going to shows. So music's been part of my life for, like, fuck, man, almost 30 years now. So you know, I don't know where my life would be without it, to be honest with you. And I don't even want to think about it, because because of the music and because of the band, I've done so much, you know, I've seen so many cool places, I've met so many cool people all over the world, and I've got to do and experience more than just about anybody else I know, you know, that I've grown up with, you know, so it's allowed, you know, allowed for a lot of cool experiences in my life, so, you know, where would my life be now without the band? Who knows, you know, I mean, it certainly probably wouldn't be as exciting as it is now, for sure.
And then where do you see the band in 5 years? Or you guys don't plan that much?
Yeah, we don't really, we try not to think of things we've never thought about. When we started the band, we never thought we'd be still doing it 22 years later. So we try not to ever think about that. I mean, in 5 years, I hope we're on the next record and I hope we're touring. That's about it, you know? That's all you can hope for.
Yeah. So just to close it up, if you guys ever had unlimited budget for a stage setting, what do you think you would use?
Unlimited budget for what?
A stage setup.
Oh, for stage setup? Oh, we could probably do some cool stuff. I mean, Bob, that's what Bob does, you know, for his job. He works for a production company, and they do lighting, and they do sound for corporate events. So he's all into that, man. He does video editing. So, I mean, we would do some cool stuff. I mean, the ideas are there. It's just the means. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for one, we would definitely have a really cool light show with lights that are programmed for specific songs, which is what we did in the past a while ago, back in like 99. We took out a little light show with us that Bob programmed the lights for, and it really makes a difference, you know. And, you know, I would like to do something with some video screens, you know, and have some cool images, you know, to, you know, that worked with, you know, individual songs, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of ideas, you know, for like video ideas for songs and stuff like that, that maybe we wouldn't actually use for a video, but that would work well in a live situation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it would be something cool for, you know, for the audience to check out too, you know what I'm saying? It just adds to the experience, you know what I'm saying, to make it the whole live show more of a production than just, you know, a live performance, you know what I'm saying? So it would make it more interesting. So, you know, maybe one day.
Yeah, exactly. You can always hope.
That's right.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the time and answering your questions, and good luck in the new album.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.